Welcome to another episode of Systematic Geekology. This is a space where we seek to create and cultivate healthy conversations between those things we geek out on and the philosophical and theological questions that often arise out of our fandoms. Like, what does it mean to be human? What makes a hero? What makes a villain? How do the stories and narratives we geek out on shape how we live in the world? We are your priest to the geeks. We aren't all ordained, but we see ourselves as mediators at the intersection of geek culture and going deeper in our faith. We don't always have to agree, but we do respect each other, and we see everyone as a beloved child of God. Everyone geeks out on something, so come geek out with us and enjoy the show.
You're listening to an Anazal Ministries podcast.
A movie drive-in at Christmas? Wow, this has my name all over it. Well, not literally, but give me time and some grounds. I am Joshua Knoll here with the one and only Christian Ashley here for the Christmas drive-in series, where we've been doing TV specials. We've done, you know, Batman, the Joker Christmas. We've talked about the Supernatural Christmas. And now we are here with another one voted from our Facebook group, Priest to the Geeks. Make sure you join it. Links are somewhere. They voted to allow me also to talk about A Christmas Carol. You know, I don't really like Christmas that much. I usually don't end up on the drive-ins that frequently. But for some reason, both Supernatural and Doctor Who made it to the drive-in this year. So here I am. And this is one of my what I call my Christmas Fantastic Four. There are four things I have to watch every Christmas. And this has made the list for me is Doctor Who's A Christmas Carol, starring Matt Smith as the Doctor. The other ones, if you're wondering, It's a Wonderful Life, Miracle on 34th Street, In a Year Without a Santa Claus. That rounds out my Christmas Fantastic Four.
It's a solid list.
Yeah, I mean, I like them. What's your Christmas Fantastic Four?
I don't have one. You've just crippled me with choice. On this episode, we were really prepared for.
Yeah, Christian was not supposed to be on this episode, so it was supposed to be me and another host, and that didn't work out, so I got another host. So Christian's the backup. Really what it is Christian's on too many episodes, so I try really hard not to drag him into more. Or is it because I don't want y'all have to listen to him that much? One of those options.
It's what happens is the bat symbol goes up, and of course I have to be the one to answer.
Yeah. Also, for those wondering, he does have a recorder attached to his pants, and every time he walks into your house, it starts playing. No, 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 no.
That's signal. Sorry, not symbol.
Oh. Anyway, so Doctor Who, A Christmas Carol, one of my all-time favorite Christmas viewings. Christian, we're going to pretend we just got in the car. We went to the drive-in. We watched this on a big screen in the car, eating popcorn and stuff. And then you looked over to me after the showing. And what's the first thing you said?
Well, Joshua, considering pretty much what happened today is you basically drove into my house, say, Christian, we're going to go see a movie together. Only it's not a movie. It's going to be a Doctor Who episode. You have 2 hours to prepare. And you know what? I got to watch it in that amount of time again because it's been a while. And I'm going to look at you and say, you know what? Despite all the damages you've caused to my home, I'm glad I watched this with you.
Yeah. Matt Smith is one of my least favorite doctors, but some of my favorite episodes are Matt Smith episodes. This is one of them. And two of my favorite Doctor Who quotes are actually from this special. So it's possible that after the drive-in, I would have looked at you and said one of those. I might have been like, oh, that had my name all over it. Well, not literally, but give me time and some grounds. And it's also possible I would have looked at you and said, man, you know, I thought you were somebody important, but it turns out somebody not important. But it turns out that even if I had 900 years of space and time travel, you still would not meet a person who wasn't important. It's crazy. Yeah. I love that moment when the doctor just, you know, he's doing his little like going back and forth and being silly and acting childish bit and sees somebody frozen And it's like, oh, who's that? And you have definitely not Dumbledore or Scrooge, but both of those things. Go. Say, oh, don't worry about her. She's no one important. And the doctor just stops and goes, you know, it's crazy. In 900 years of space and time travel, I've yet to meet a single person who wasn't important. And it just, I don't know, something about that one line that was kind of, it felt like a throwaway line, but also just beautiful.
Yeah, it's a pretty baller line. I mean, for him, especially as someone who's traveled and he's seen a lot of people and he's seen the worst of humanity and other races and the Time Lords. And he's also seen the best. And every single one of them was notable in some way or fashion. And I appreciate that line a lot.
Yeah. Insert rant from both of us about Imago Dei. So we're just going to brush right past that. Yeah. If, for those who don't know, this isn't a direct retelling of A Christmas Carol. Rather, what happens is the Doctor's companions, just going to, you know, put a pin in that for now. They're in a trip. They get stuck in on this planet that has a cloud belt with flying fish. Flying fish. How do people ever get bored? Who invented boredom? I could probably quote this whole special, but they get stuck. He ends up finding the man who has a device doohickey that controls the cloud belt that can help them out, who's refusing because I don't know, money perhaps.
Do you want to actually give a synopsis, or are you gonna bungle your way through this?
I'm gonna bungle my way. No synopsis.
Goddamn Himmel.
The point is, because reasons, he needed to convince an old crotchety man to do the right thing. And as he was trying to figure out how to do that, he heard people singing A Christmas Carol, and the Doctor basically recreates A Christmas Carol by visiting this man's past, showing him what's happening in the future. And also, my favorite twist, actually, this is a lot of Stephen Moffat twist annoy me, but this one I thought was actually pretty good of, you know, instead of showing him the future of what's going to happen, you know, the man's prepared to be shown the future. And he goes, oh, I am showing it to you. And the child version of it walks out and sees what he becomes and is like, Dad? And it's like, ooh, yeah, that was hard. Not doing a synopsis and Christian is annoyed. We're not doing a synopsis because we don't have time, Christian. But sure. Go ahead and say the things you want to say about it.
So they're not stuck on the planet. They're stuck on a space liner, Amy and Rory. And they're about to all
the sky. They're stuck in the sky belt of the planet still.
Yeah, but they're on the ship. About to die. It's a death fresh land because this whole planet is controlled by Kazran Sardik, whose dad basically made a way to where the clouds can be moved around for his own purposes. There's some vagueness to it. There's some that's legitimately explained about how he can control it to control the planet and its resources. That's why he has all the money and everyone under his thrall. Kazran at this time is old, bitter, and has been abused his whole life. And the Doctor tries to go to him and be like, hey, like these people are all going to die. You're the only person who can save them because, you know, science nonsense. And if you don't do it, 4,003 people are dead. And he's like, bah humbug, because I'm your Scrooge for this episode. And disagrees with the Doctor. And there's a moment where he goes to this boy and he's about to strike him because he kind of got in his way and messed with him, but he stops himself. And that's what makes the Doctor go, okay, maybe there's something redeemable about this guy. So he learns about who he is. There's a little bit of Sherlock scan moment going, okay, this is why you're like this. So he goes into the past in the TARDIS to become his Mary Poppins babysitter. And they have romps around time and they find...
That Mary Poppins comparison is rubbish, by the way.
Yes. And they find that he used to be a sweet kid, but abused by a terrible father. And one of the things that his father did is he would, even though I rewatched this, I don't get it completely. It's the idea of selling a family member as like collateral or something like that. And these cryopods for reasons. And we have a young woman there who, go ahead.
He's, I'm trying to think of like the word for it in our world, but basically mob kind of mentality of he allows people to borrow money. He charges an incredible amount of interest on it. And then for the down payment, he takes humans basically and puts them in a pod. So you're basically trapped until you pay him back. And a family member can volunteer to be that person so that you can get the loan shark.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what I was thinking.
So there are little flying space sharks and also, you know, this human loon shark. And the doctor goes down there with him after they have some problems with one of the flying sharks that he's curious about, gets into his room. The sonic screwdriver gets snapped in half. Half of it is inside a shark. Half of it is with the doctor and Kazarin. And they, to save the shark, because the kid does is just an animal doing its thing, he finds this young woman in there named Abigail, who was one of these people who sold themselves as a loon. And he becomes enamored with her over the years. And through the process, he learned that her voice kind of, because of sound waves or something, every time he complains about it, you know, he gets bitten. So don't worry about the science or anything behind it. It's yeah, science magic. Reasons. It just works. The doctor and Kazarin end up teaming up with her, and he slowly falls in love with her as he grows up. Because one of the things to do is that every Christmas Eve, they're going to show back up because she has to go back in the pod after they're done. And as he grows up, she kind of falls for him too. They go through shenanigans in time until eventually it learns that there's actually a countdown involved, and she has one single day to live. She started with 8. So they've had 8 Christmas Eves together, and this breaks him, and he becomes the bitter old man in a different way than he did in the original timeline. So the doctor is then forced to work with him again to make him realize what's going on. Rory and Amy try to get the goodness gracious crew of the ship and the passengers to like sing a Christmas carol, remind them that they're human beings. That doesn't work. Then finally, what does work is that the doctor brings the past version of Kazarin to see his future self almost hitting him. And that's where the line of dad comes up, because it's the idea of I've become the abuser again. And he almost hits him and stops himself. And that's what's like, okay, I don't want to be him anymore. And it works together. Everything is perfectly fine. They're able to land the ship because they have a change of heart. And Abigail's brought up for one last Christmas with him. And that's where we kind of left off as the doctor and Amy and Rory go off on their own. Mm-hmm.
I'm glad we're not doing a synopsis. I will say too, like that first time that he almost hits the other kid, that was one of the other things I really appreciate. He almost hits the kid, and the doctor, that's what makes the doctor stay behind and talk to him more, because he says, he does like a Sherlock number almost of like, oh, there's this picture of your dad over here. All the chairs are pointing away from it. All this stuff's going on. It's why you're afraid of your dad and you're not like your dad. Not really. Do you know why? And he's like, why? He's like, you didn't hit the kid. And it was like, yeah. There's so many moments in this that are just truly heartwarming. It's good. The connection to the overall Doctor Who-ness I love too, because like, even though I think it's kind of nonsensical that she only has like really specifically 8 days to live, we know exactly how long she has to live for some reason, whatever, you know, eventually he has to choose what will be the last day he has with her. And it's important because the doctor's having kind of a timey-wimey journey with River Song, and also knows based on their journals that they both keep that whenever they see each other next is going to be the last night they spend together, which we now know will be on Christmas. I could unpack that, but that's a whole nother special, and it is so good. So that's probably my second favorite Doctor Who Christmas special. Yeah. Anyway, so a lot here. It's just a fantastic story, a lot of heartwarming moments, and just a lot of sci-fi-ness, you know? And maybe some fantasy, because we don't feel like explaining things because we have a time limit here. Yeah, but since this is just a special, it's not going to fill out the whole movie slot. We have to do it as a double feature. Christian, what would you pair with this showing to fill out our drive-in experience?
I keep getting surprised by this question, and I don't know why.
It's so funny that
I've read these. I'd say I'd read this outline, but one doesn't exist for this one. But I prepared for the other one I'm going to be doing today, the one I was actually supposed to be on, as I'm bungling around for time. Sure, let's go with Tenth Doctor Regeneration. Isn't that on Christmas too, with the Sycorax?
I think that was the first of like our era of Christmas specials.
Sure. You know what? To fumble around for an answer, that's my answer.
I think, hear me out, I'm probably cheating, but the Muppets Christmas Carol is only an hour and 20 minutes. I feel like these go together, and that's like, you know, this is a good solid block.
Okay. Mickey Christmas Carol. That's
oh,
my actual
man.
Name.
Christian won again. I have once again been defeated. Unless you ask TJ. TJ loves a Muppet Christmas Carol.
I mean, they're both good.
Yeah, yeah. And I think what stands out about the Doctor Who one is that it's not actually a Christmas Carol. They didn't go, you know what, let's redo that story again. They were like, we're going to incorporate the story in a respectful way, but tell our own story.
Because yeah, with time travel.
Yeah, yeah, of course. Oh, man. So what is for you, what about this special really stands out, good or bad? That you're like, this is what makes this, I don't know.
Works. Good, definitely seeing the Doctor care. Not only, I mean, he's got a personal stake in the story, and that, you know, Rory and Amy are going to die because if this doesn't happen the way he wants it to, that ship's going to crash land. But it's also, he repeats 4,003 people are going to die. So he's doing whatever it takes to get that done. And you go, he would easily have gone like Time Lord Victorious for a moment there if he hadn't have seen Kazran like not hit the kid. And as that moment of, oh, there's actually some humanity left in you. And I think that's worth preserving. And I think that's worth fighting for. So yeah, he's leaving the 4,003 to look after the one. And I really
Man,
appreciate
you beat
that.
Me to it. That yeah. Cause so there's a line early on and that's 4,003 people are going to die. And do you know where that puts you? And of course are absolutely not Scrooge. Dumbledore is like, where? It's like 4,004. Oh, that's sort of a threaty thing. But it's like, I always took that as not a threat. I think the Doctor genuinely meant, no, I'm saving you too. And he yeah. does. And to be fair, it's a little easier with time travel. You don't actually have to worry about the people running out of time and crashing to the planet because you're just like, oh, I'll come back to the right time. But he does. He spends a huge chunk of time getting to know this character who is more or less just because of his own crotchetiness is putting in danger the Doctor's best friend's lives. And he's like, oh, I'm going to go back in time and you really get to know this guy and help him out and learn to kind of teach him to be a better person. And it's like the combination of like leaving the 99 for the one and loving your enemy to the extreme. Like, it's like, I'm going to do both of those things at the same time in the most extreme way possible.
Yes.
Yeah. And I think, too, I like, and maybe this is as a Matt Smith hater, it makes me like it more, that the Doctor kind of misses it on this one. He's like, oh, we're having fun. This is great. And eventually he's going to grow up and be a good guy. And he just misses the fact that what actually happens is he's going to fall in love. And it ends up making him into the Grouch. Like, the Doctor actually kind of dropped the ball in that first act. And yes. I like that. I like that that's what happened. It wasn't like the Doctor just simply went in and made him a better person. It was the Doctor messed up because he's a little too silly. He was a little too childish. He was just having fun with it all. And, you know, consequences are still real, even when you can just go back in time and fix things.
Yeah. I'm with you.
Yeah.
No. Nitpicky, one thing I'm not big on, it's a throwaway joke and you shouldn't really take it that seriously, but when you actually know the history behind it all, it gets a little worse. You know, when they're in 1950s California and you know, Abigail and Kazran are having their time, like kissing each other, she's told on the news it's going to be like the last Christmas Eve they can do this. That there's this line of how the Doctor said, well, I kind of accidentally just got engaged to Marilyn Monroe. And then he gets upset with them for kissing just like he does with Amy and Rory because they're not focused on him because he's a little bit of a man child in this, you know, incarnation.
Yes. Well,
pretty much all of them, he's a man child, but this is more exacerbated, shall we say. Mm-hmm. And she's like, fine, well, I'll go get married to her. And he leaves and it's a joke, so I'm not taking it too seriously, but like, if you look at Marilyn Monroe's life, it's depressing. This woman was trying to find love and it just went poorly. So now he adds himself to that list. I don't like the Doctor doing that, but you know what? That's nitpicky.
Yeah.
They weren't thinking too hard about it.
Yeah. I don't think that they were putting that much thought into it, unfortunately. Cause they also reference it again at the end when Rory goes to the door, he's like, a Marilyn's calling for you. And I think it might be the Marilyn. Oh man.
Yeah, I don't know. It's hard to find negatives for me, really. I do think my biggest negative is just like the how do you know exactly 8 days is how much time she has to live? Like that irks me a little bit. But, I also that, do
the whole thing, too. She doesn't look like someone who's about to die. I'll put it that way.
Yeah. Yeah. Like. But I did really appreciate the 1 year that she was like, what if we did this Christmas Eve instead of time travel? You know, I always like the moments in any show, movie, whatever, where the characters realize, hey, you know what? Actually, our own time. Sometimes it's good to just take a break and appreciate where we are for what we are. Such time as this, etc. You know? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I love that. I didn't like that Amy was in it because I don't like Amy. But that's it.
Wow.
Yeah. Just having to look at her irritated me slightly. But I got Rory, so it's worth it.
Okay.
Also, I thought their role play joke was pretty funny, actually. That was a funny bit throughout.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of anything else. I really do think it just does, especially when you think back to him saying, I've never met someone not important before. And then that person that he saw was the same girl that Kazran eventually falls in love with. And I just kind of wrapping that bow on like, yeah, the doctor went and made not Scrooge Dumbledore, built a real relationship with him because he matters too. The 4,003 people on the ship also matters. That woman's life matters. And near the end, when Kazran sees her and he's being his grumpy old man, the doctor even does someone important, is it? And it's just kind of that, yeah. Everyone is important. Imago Dei rant. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think, you know, if we're going to go like, what is the real meaning of Christmas? I will go back to hope. And that is what the birth of Jesus symbolizes, is hope of salvation to all. You get a little bit of hope. You get a little bit of that in here. But I think the real message of this one is just that everybody matters. Not a bad thing at Christmas time, but I don't think that's the message of the season, you know?
I was surprised, I mean, to recall, because it's been a while since I've watched it, that they do sing a song about the birth of Jesus as like this hopeful thing to try and turn around Kazran's feelings. And that's not something I expect from modern Who. I expect kind of the opposite. And I was glad to be proven wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. That was good. All that said, it was a great time. I think anybody could watch it. I don't think you need to know what's going on in larger Who to enjoy it. I think you could just watch this one for what it is. I mean,
it's pretty standalone.
Yeah. Even the line where he comes in from the chimney in the, like in the middle of this like Scrooge loan shark scene, like, who are you? He's like, oh, you know, I just, it's Christmas time. I was riding here. I saw a chimney and thought, oh, what the hell? It's just like, yeah, you know what? I got to give him that one.
Yes.
So if you haven't seen it, this is your call. It's Christmas time, A Christmas Carol. What the hell, guys? Might as well. So, Christian, with that said, if you were to design your own Christmas treat for the drive-in concession stand for this showing specifically of Doctor Who, A Christmas Carol, what would be the design and what would it be made of?
Some type of confection, like in the form of a fish or shark, but that would have like this sonic screwdriver inside of it, but it'd be like, you know, not hard candy or something. It'd be like a jelly.
Oh, I like it. I like it. I like it. See, I was thinking of like, doing like a 3D snack. It's just like a little miniature TARDIS that stands up, but it's a Rice Krispie treat and like with icing decorations. So it looks like a Christmas lights going around the TARDIS. That's what I'm thinking. And maybe okay. Some peppermint filling in the middle or something. Something fun. If you're going to do like a 3D thing that's that thick, I think you have to have something, some kind of filling in it. And I like peppermint. So that's where I'm going to go. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Good times. Good times. So with that, guys, I do hope that you'll take the time to rate and review this wherever you are listening. We appreciate it. Check our show notes for the playlist of the entire series so far of our Christmas special drive-in series. Our next one will be the day after Christmas, which is technically the second day of Christmas, if you're counting. But and Christian will be there to wrap up with an actual double feature. So it might be a little bit longer than this one. Hang in there. I think it'll be a good time, and I think everybody's going to enjoy it. And with that, guys, please do us a big favor and remember that we are all a chosen people, a geekdom of priests.
Hello, guys. I really hate to interrupt, but my name's TJ, and I'm here to tell you about our new merch. We have incredible new stuff with Fourth Wall. We have just partnered with them as a new store. They have a lot more to offer, which means we have a lot more to offer. We can now offer you beautiful Comfort Colors t-shirts. They're so comfy. I wear mine all the time. And we've got it all now. Cups, hats, backpacks, pajamas. If you want your Systematic Geekology pajamas, you know where to go. My personal favorite is actually our Throne of Geeks shirt. It is Comfort Colors, you know, blue, black, green, red, orange. And the shirts are just so nice. And the shirt itself, we've got the Throne of Iron geeked out. Because, you know, that's our brand. We've got Mjolnir on there, the Buster Sword, Trident. Basically just the coolest weapons from our favorite properties are on the shirt instead of a bunch of normal boring swords from the boring series Game of Thrones. So check that out and thank you.
Hi friends, it's Laura here, and I just wanted to say thank you for listening to our show. Systematic Geekology is a part of a larger podcast network called the Anazal Podcast Network. Dummy for Theology is Joshua Noel's show discussing different theological topics from various perspectives and attempting to give people more questions than answers. My Seminary Life is Brandon Knight's show. It started as him going through what he was learning in seminary, and after he graduated, he's been doing independent studies and has a lot of fun series like on hermeneutics, Bonhoeffer Summer, and worship. And then Friday Night Frights is a monthly show with Christian Ashley and Joe Day. They have a vote on the Systematic Geekology Facebook group to choose a topic each month and discuss everything from cryptos to ghosts to aliens to serial killers and more. So we hope you'll give it a listen, and thanks for being part of what we're putting out there.